I'll be done with that just if I thought that, because I spoke it too, it was the converse, because I'm going away or whatever. We're on Daf Lamed. Lamed Vav, yeah. We asked all the questions, now we're going to start answering them in the house, aren't you? Okay. Oh, so we say a Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't come with tricks and games. If the avoid of this generation is this, that we have to acquire simcha v'tuv leiva v'kol matzah v'kol tnai, then we're able to do that. Hashayla gedoylehi. The real question is, Lamed Vav, in the paragraph that starts Simcha Shenu Tola V'dova, the second paragraph. Keitzad magim l'simcha zu. How do you come to the simcha? Keitzad nilchush simcha shleima v'amitis. How does a person come to acquire complete simcha shleima v'amitis? We've said up to now in our Dhamma and everything that is the ikka avoida of this generation, because since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the way you got to bring it back is because of that. And he wants to say that all the problems we have today is told on this nakuda. Rashi, first of all, do we really understand? Do we really understand what this concept of simcha l'ishure means? L'ishure also means it's a kind of simcha, no? It's wealth, no? It's
confirmation, acknowledgement.
Oh, you want to use that as an ishur, as a confirmation? Is that a translated certification? Okay.
No.
Know what that means. Okay. Can it's boina nira? I thought it was Loshon Aisha. Aisha were covered.
That's with the vav after the
Aisha. Oh, that's why, yeah. So it could be that Allah translated it last time when we did it. You need an Ishur. You need a permission. You need a certificate, an acknowledgement.
Yeah. I think Aisha was with an Ayin. Oishiva Kovod
is with an ayin, yeah. There's ashirus, there's wealth, is with an aleph. Keshiz boina nira, ki gam kashe anu zoichim li toim li itim taim ashol simcha.
Other way around.
Asher with wealth is with an ayin. And Asher with happiness is with the Aleph. Simcha zu hi. Can you explain again? Kam gashe anu zoichim li toim li itin taim shel simcha. If you meditate on this carefully, you'll come to see that even sometimes we are zoiche to taste an occasion, the taste of simcha. Simcha zu simcha tolu bedover. It's a kol adam l'fi madrigosa. This is simcha that's tolu on something. Who's that?
Shimon Lieb.
Almost the same last name.
Shimon Lieb, that's
his middle name.
Shimon Lieb Cohen. And you're Benjamin Lieb.
Benjamin Osher Lieb.
Benjamin Osher Lieb. Oh, you should know how to spell Osher. Deals with an Aleph. Okay. Even when we do taste simcha, it's a simcha that's totally with over. Hayachat samayach, kashu zoichel yomoyit kamashos biyagir. One person gets happy because he managed to learn for a few hours. Or kashu zoichel chadish chidush amiti b'derech limidoy. He learned very well, or he said a good kasho, he understood the kasho, he understood the teretz, or whatever it is. V'asugi is varelo, or suddenly the sugi been schwitzing on for a few weeks, suddenly becomes clear. You get the key to the sugya. Oh, so then you become a simcha. But that's a simcha that's totally bit of it. Vina liyache samayach kashi etzliach litpalel kuroi bekavona betveikus. Another person who's working on growing or whatever, he had a gevaldika davening, which means he managed to concentrate for the first bracha. Now the guy's very happy when he hits the lottery. He made a lot of money. He had a good business deal. The property that he bought went up. Whatever he sold, he made good. Our simcha is tolu on some kind of success. You did well at something. You want to? I mean, you give many examples. Sport, this, that, whatever. You just that's when we get simcha.
Even at those chasna.
You said the right thing to somebody. It's also tolu b'dover. There's the music. It's because it's the guy's wedding. It's because you're happy because your buddy's getting married. It's tolu. If it wasn't a wedding, now you wouldn't be happy. It's tolu b'dover. Yeah. You give many examples. Many examples. Once again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No. Here you're saying you made the CM, you got the svara. It's someone else's.
Okay, so it's a bit more selfish. So the other guy's simcha, it's less selfish, but it's still tolu b'dover.
Okay.
In achinam, yeah, no, you're right. Qualitatively, it is different, but it's still the same species. Ma'alav muvan shema'ach v'hasimcha tolu b'dover. Once we realize that the simcha is tolu b'dover, kasher anu chashim b'chesoron beruchnis or b'gashmis. This, the flip side's true now. Now, when you feel a chesoron in your ruchness and your gashmis, miyad magia Torah shalatzvus. Now you're still getting upset. You're walking around miserable. You didn't understand the Tosfos. You didn't make money. You davened alavai. You davened in you used your pillow instead of your shtender. Then you walk around feeling miserable. You walk around feeling miserable.
Rav, what does it mean Torah show Atzvus?
Miyad megia Torah shel Atzvus. I think he means
the realm, the laws.
You arrive in the world, in the realm of being sad. It's a very difficult loshen. I'm always trying to extract ideas. It's a very sort of modern Hebrew yeshivish language written safer this, and I'm not up to date with all the slang keeps changing anyway. You try to keep up with it, you can't. Most of the words are English as well. Children are horrified when they discover words like absurd are actually English words. They'll argue with
special.
Special. There's plenty. There's dozens. They come out every day with two or three. I find two or three new ones every day. You've got to fight with them.
The maximum.
Now, the best is what Wolitsky told me the other day. Lincoln. Car, the Lincoln convertible. Lincoln. Sounds telling me, but Lincoln's every statement. Lincoln and it's Lincoln. Brilliant. I told my children, soon you were speaking English, but you're speaking mamish fluent English thinking, you're speaking Hebrew. Potential. It's another one I had an argument with them the other day. They're actually right, because all those words do come from Hebrew originally. If you check it back, you'll see that all those words are rooted in Loshon HaKodesh. So then maybe we're getting back to Mashiach now. So all the Kedusha they're bringing, they're extracting it out again. Kenzan. Okay, it's a nice way of looking at it. Kamu Simchaseinu tolu b'dover ubeheder oisoi dover nelama zazimcha kilo oisoi. That once our simcha is tolu b'dover, and when you weaken the heder,
it's lacking.
When it's lacking, when it's weakened, when it's not around, that dover. So then the simcha gets hidden as though it's not, then it's not there. Simcha zu novayas mirayv kol. Kiv shemorim hem meshes chochma vashlo kodesh tachas asher lo avadates Hashem alakecha b'simcha tuv leiv loiv mirayv kol. The pasuk, we're going to be working with this pasuk for a while. I might as well take 2 seconds to look at it. Why is all this Torah going to come upon you and the destruction and the chulban and the klas or whatever? Because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. You're serving Hashem. You didn't know b'simcha b'tuv levav. Meirav koil. What's meirav koil? Pirush Mirav Kol Hunasinas Tam La Ovenze. The Mirav Kol, that's the reason for this oven, that we're not serving Hashem Basimcha. Madua lo avarat Yisrael Malakecha Basimcha Tu Leilov. One, you serve Hashem Basimcha Vetuv Leilov. Ki Alacha Rav Kol. What does it mean? Because you had Rav Kol, because you had a lot, Kloima. Simcha Samachta B'Rav Kol V'lo Samachta V'Etzem Ahava Shelecha V'Etzem Mitziyoscha. With one underlining that phrase, you took simcha in the Rav Kol, you came to the land and you grew fat and wealthy or whatever, and you got into your Koich of Oitzem Yadi mode, and all the simcha you had was the Rav Kol. You enjoyed your laptop and your palm top and your head top and your tabletop and your, where's the next thing they're gonna, where they're gonna put another machshev? It started with a desktop and then became a laptop and then it became a palm top. And now where's the next place they're gonna put it? They're gonna implant it in your brain or whatever. Okay.
And your glasses.
And your glasses and your watch and the, yeah, whatever, you got involved in your little gadgets and shtus and all your zachen and your fancy cell phones and your clothes and your cars and your restaurants and whatever, and you stopped taking simcha just from the mere fact that you're alive. You stop being the simcha, just your own existence became meaningless without all the gadgets. Why did we stop serving Hashem b'simcha? Because we were so busy being b'simcha with everything outside of ourselves that we stopped being b'simcha with ourselves. My next door neighbor told me he's very close with Revolbi. Somebody was talking about something about being bored or whatever. So Revolbi said, I can't remember the exact lotion he said, but it was along the lines of, bored? I have such a rich inner world. How could you be bored? I've so much wealth inside of me, how could I be bored? Do you understand a statement like that? My inner world is so wealthy, so rich, so full. Mama, what am I lacking? We're so caught up in the external world that we stop being besimcha, especially when you lose it.
But it's a little bit hard to understand, because it says tachat hashalom avanta Hashem elokecha besimcha. We're totally above me, Rav Kol. You didn't serve Hashem from Rav Kol.
You didn't. In Achinam, why not?
Because Rav Kol means that all the shtus and everything.
No, Pshat is because you had Rav Kol, it means it's coming as a reason. Maybe the way we read the pasuk is like this. Why not? Mirav Kol. From Mirav. What's Mirav Kol? From. As a result of the Rav Kol. Because you had Rav Kol, so you're putting all your simcha into Rav Kol. You made your simcha tolu b'dover, and therefore you weren't serving Hashem just out of the essence of your own existence.
Right.
It's not hard to understand, I mean.
Which by definition is also tolu b'dover, the dover is you exist. I suppose it's the only dover that when it goes, you're not going to worry about not being happy.
Is that called the dover? That no one can take it away from you. You can never, that's just the mere fact that I exist. I'm not doing mitzvahs, I'm not doing anything, I'm a comatose vegetable, and but I'm a simcha. My life is worthwhile. You see, to order to really understand this, you have to understand what is the worth of your life if you're not doing anything, or you don't have anything. I mean, today I would say to you, you don't have to go for it. Try this discussion with your parents. You're trying to, you know, like, when are you going to get a job? When are you going to, no. Just the fact that I exist is enough. I mean, we have a hard time believing that ourselves even, but we'll see, and we're going to bring proofs. You'll see that from a Kol Bochus perspective, the fact that you exist and you do nothing is infinitely valuable. But if my value is only in the fact that I did something, or I'm going to do something, or I bought something, or I own something, or that's my intrinsic value, I don't think we're saying that one shouldn't use external things to enhance one's simcha. I don't know, but you see the Torah itself, it says, you know, basa vayayin and nice clothes, and there's a whole bunch of external rituals we do in order to bring the body along for the ride. But if that's what your simcha is dependent on, then you're in a lot of trouble. The simcha has to be, I'm good news for the Jews. That's what your simcha's got to be tolerant. How do I know?
Are we really saying you can have all these other things to take a wall away from it, or that add to it, but the standard level that a Jew should always be is, despite whatever happens to me, good or bad, I'm still always above par. Yeah. I'm still always in this
place.
So a good thing might happen, I might be a little bit happier, sad, but my level is always
I'm always besimcha, yeah. Obviously, Tisha B'Av is a different kind of emotion for a supposed to have simple stories different. Well, yeah, and achinami.
But still,
but my default position is I'm alive. I just give the story of a guy who goes to the doctor, and the doctor says to him, takes out the x-rays and the test, and he says to him, doesn't look good. We suggest you get together your lawyer and your accountant, and you wind up your affairs 6 months, that's it. You're lucky, pushing 6 months if you get to 6 months. The guy's broken, he goes home, breaks his news to his family. Terrible, terrible situation. So he's winding his affairs together, he comes a week before the end of 6 months or whatever, he's already deteriorated, and matters getting worse. So he gets a phone call from the doctor, please come see me urgently. He thinks, oh, what now? Doctor's apologetic, we made such a mistake, it was the wrong test, it's not your test, you're 100% healthy, everything's fine.
So he's deteriorated.
You tell a guy that he's going to die in 6 months' time, I promise you, he'll die in 6 months' time. Unless he's got a real koyach and he fights it, but you see. Anyway, he goes, how does he leave the doctor's office? How does he go home?
Singing and dancing.
Singing and what? Nothing's changed. The only difference is he's alive. Nothing's changed. Think about it carefully, you'll see. All he got given in that doctor's office was life. His bank balance is the same, his matzav's the same, his relationship, nothing's changed except he's going
to
live.
His
simcha at that moment is not potential. His simcha at that moment is not because of any potential, because he had the potential before he walked into the doctor's office. All that changed was he thought he was going to die, and now he's going to live. You're right, we have to get to touch with what the simcha of being alive is about. But you'll see even some... Okay, hold off.
What about a person, a vegetable living on a desert island who has no contact?
We're going to deal with it. We're going to get there.
Fine. Even so, I don't really understand.
How are you going to be besimcha?
No, like, what's his value?
Oh, well, we're going to deal with it.
Good. Even finally, we break every Shabbos with him.
We'll see. Good. That's what we have to get in touch with. You know what? Because it's not him, Adam. It's you. You're that vegetable on a deserted island or whatever. We're all that vegetable on a deserted island, trying to get in touch with what's my value. What's my value to this world besides my doing? We understand there's a value in the doing. No one's undermining or demeaning the fact that there's a power in what we do. The mitzvahs we do and the Torah we learn, there's a power there. No one's saying that's nothing. On the contrary, that's valuable. But what is that value if I myself am nothing? You see, if I'm a nothing and I do a mitzvah, so and just twitched, I did nothing. So I don't even get value out of my mitzvahs. But if I understand my intrinsic value when I'm doing nothing, so now do you understand how big my mitzvah was? It's a different kind of relationship with your mitzvahs. But we first have to strip all the external stuff away in order to get to the point where I understand what is my intrinsic value, even if I am in a coma doing nothing. Why is it that we machalal all the shabbosim, etc., etc., in order to keep this cabbage alive? Why? What could be so? Surely all the shabbosim are much more choshev than one vegetable, sort of ticking over with a life support system. When you get in touch with that value, then your life starts taking a whole different meaning. Josh? So is the door again, or do you want it open for a reason? You need air?
Yeah.
Just put on the air conditioner rather. Just the heat is here. This room is very badly designed. It was well paid for, I can tell you. No, it was well paid for, but it was badly designed. Space, everything. I think this room wasn't supposed to be here, and then Mr. Kaplan or whatever gave the
No,
it's outside, there's a big thing. Yeah. That's the Sforim, I think, but outside you'll see there's a.
Hasn't that got anything to do with Mr. Shiv, with Or Avraham?
What, Alan Harmon?
Yeah.
No.
Is that just coincidence there?
That's not coincidence. Most of this building was paid for by South Africans.
For Or Avraham or for the.
No, for all
Yisrael. I think we should ask them to pay for the rest, no?
No, they do, Bokh Hashem. No, Reb Shimshon Pinkas outside was very involved in helping all Yisrael get off the feet, off the ground. And he spent a lot of time in South Africa. See, when he was Nifta and they decided to name this building after him, so a lot of his Talmidim, the people that he had cash with in South Africa, came on board to pay for the building.
This building is called what?
Beis David, Shimshon David, for. Whatever. Which was his wife's name, I can't remember. Chaim Mindel.
Yeah, it's in the beginning of
that. Okay. And he dedicated this book to them. Chaim Mindel. I didn't even know that. Shimshon David, and his daughter Miriam. They were very close. The three of them were mamash very close. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Taba.
Shuten Arachim is also a student of
Who? Pinchas? It's a machlokes. Who was the student? Who was the Rebbe? Rabbi Hillel held Rabbi Pinchas as a Rebbe. Pinchas held Rabbi Hillel as a Rebbe. That was a chavrusah. Shimshon was a goyim. Iloi.
Where did he learn? Like
Brisk. Baruch Berel. He was Baruch Berel. His father-in-law was one of the Gedolei Yisrael.
He started in the States.
He started as a kid. He went to Beis HaTalmud. He went to Torah Vadas. I don't really know where he learned as a kid. Listen, his father was a goyinoid. His father was a very choshev yid. Grandfather was a tzaddik yisodayla. His grandfather, Reb Shimshon. Reb Shimshon's mother and Reb Noach and Reb Yaakov were brothers and sisters. He grew up in the Weinberg and the Slonim Ahav. And then he married into the Mann family. The Mann family, every one of them are Rosh Hashiva geniuses. Every one of them geniuses. He was a Brisker, deep down. Slonim of Brisker.
And how old was he when he passed away?
55. Oh. Him and Reb Zelig Weinberg have the same grandfather. Zelig was cousins. First cousins. No, real Brisker. Brisker. But with the Hasidisha, there were Slavimists. The Hasidisha. Zelig as well. The Brisker. Slavim. Islam is a Hasidic that was closest to Brisk than any of the Hasidic. Very into learning, very deep, sharp learning, Kotzke kind of, you know, sharpness. But with a Hasidic bread for them. Anyway, so that's how the South Africans all got involved. So we spent a lot of time in South Africa fundraising, putting up this building. The first $100,000 for the building came from South Africa, and they wanted to name the building after the person that gave it, and then Reb Shimshon was nifty, so name it after Reb Shimshon. My first encounter with this building was I was having x-rays in the Sheva, put my back out, and I was having x-rays, and I got a call from Robertson Tsur, I'd never spoken to him in my life before, to say her husband's in America fundraising, and this big South African gvir that paid for the building is coming to the Yeshiva in an hour to have a look, and there's no one that can speak to him, no one that speaks English, nobody knows anything. Would I mind going and meeting him?
How did she know you?
I lived in Zimbabwe. She knows I'm from South Africa. She knows I'm from South Africa. She knows I speak English. So she phoned and asked me if I could. So I got off the x-ray table, got in my car, and I flew here, and I met them. The story wasn't built. They just built the bottom floor. They didn't even put the floor in. I remember walking over in the kitchen. Like over sand dunes. There was. And I met them. We walked around. We took him around Beit Shemesh to show him the neighborhood or whatever. So, you know, poverty. And he was crying. To this day, whenever I see him, he says, I still remember you showed me all that poverty. He says, I couldn't stop crying. This is what they made the from world into so much power. He was angry. He was the guy that put the kippah on Olmert when Olmert came to speak at the chief rabbi's dinner, and he wasn't wearing a kippah.
In
South Africa, at the Saint and Son, they were having the farewell dinner for the chief rabbi, and Olmert happened to be having a meeting before he was prime minister, Minister of Trade Oil. So Olmert was next door having a meeting, so they asked him to come and speak. You know the South Africans, they honour the foreign minister, whatever, you know. You know, the chief rabbi, the minister of foreign affairs of Israel, it's all the same, you know, Israeli covered, you know. So they invited him to come and speak. And he wasn't wearing a kippah. So this he'd got up, took off his kippah, and he walked up to Olmert to put his kippah on him. Of course, Olmert's bodyguards grabbed hold of him, and they didn't know what they thought he was coming to. He's an old man, he's 75 years old or whatever. But he was a boxer, he was a professional boxer in his youth days. So they gave him a good go. Anyway, they got him on the ground. And he started screaming at him, "You chilul Hashem, you came out to the chief rabbi, you got no respect." And didn't make the papers quite everything. Listen, and it wasn't some rabble rousing, some Haredi rabble rousing. This guy probably paid for the dinner, you know. So but he walked up, took his kippah, and he put it on the guy's head. Put it on Olmert's head.
And Olmert still spoke without a kippah?
No. He took it. He screamed, "Do you think you have no respect for the chief rabbi? You come here without a kippah on your head." Yeah, so that's the guy that put the money into the building. Get it going. So this, and also the captain outside is called the Captain Lively.
Is that called?
Huh?
I'm having a bit.
Was that
It's hard to notice because the simcha levels are pretty high around here. It's amazing. No, there's a lot of poverty. A lot of poverty. Poor.
Yeah.
This whole neighborhood.
Beautiful, sure.
No, it's again, you don't see kids running around the streets malnutrition. And we're not talking about Calcutta. I'm not, you know, but there's a lot of aid. There's a lot of, you know, Yad Eliezer. There's a lot of, there's a lot of chesed or whatever. Some people live a very simple, very humble life. Yeah. You kind of don't see the poverty because the simcha, you know, that's one of the beauties here. It's, yeah, listen, people aren't in business, they're making money, the guys are learning, koyal, guys are teaching, and they eke out a living here. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. So now you'd be happy. However, simcha mitzis, sha'isa anu mevakshim, the real simcha that we're searching for, he's simcha she'enu bo machmas roif koyal. It's not that comes about machmas roif koyal. The drushin anu simcha she'enu tola ba'atzlocha zu or acheres. What we're searching for is a simcha that's not dependent on some success or other. Drushin anu simcha lishmo. We're looking for simcha that comes about from its own sake. Simcha be'etzem mitziyoseinu b'kol tanai b'kol matzav. Simcha that comes about from the etzem existence in whatever condition we find ourselves in. Simcha zu tiye timidis. It's a constant simcha ubeschusa niske legu'ula v'yishua. And in the schus of this simcha will merit redemption and salvation. Hine, hanesoyin moir lanu shilomorot hayusaynoi ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim ומכונים אנו למסור נפש על למנוסינו. Experience shows us, teaches us, that despite the fact that we're מאמינים בני מאמינים, we are faithful believers, the children of faithful believers, and we even prepare to give up our lives for the simuna, you know, give up your life for worship of Avodah Zarah or whatever, we all give up our lives. Mikol Mokum his boynenois mechudeshes umachshove ma'amike b'yusoydes haimuna apshutim mazrima chaim chadoshim besocheinu umebi otanu el hayecheli hasimcha amitis. Nevertheless, a deep meditation will renew mechudeshes umachshove ma'amike, and will and some deep thought machshove ma'amike, deep thought into the foundations of what's called Imunah Pshutim, will Mazrima, will sow, will infuse a totally new kind of life into us, and will bring us into the sanctums, the Heichole of Simcha Amitis, of true Simcha. So it needs his boinenus, Mechudeshes, it needs a new kind of meditation, new type of thought process, and it needs deep thought. As in everything in Torah, the Ikar Avodah is always in the Seichel. That's where it is. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. It's got to be filtered through the Seichel. Kol Yehudi hu ben shel Avram, Yitzhak for Yaakov. First thing, get in touch with who your grandparents are. You ben Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov. Mashiach comes, you're gonna sit on Avram's knee like an anikul, his grandchild. Shlosh Avos Hagiluim Shem Chidshei Ba'olam. Hinam Avos HaBinyan Shaleim Oimed Binyan HaYehudi VaYahadus Kulu. Shlosh Avos VaHagiluim Shem Chidshei Ba'olam, and the revelations that they were a new concept in the world. That they are the Avos, the prototypes of the building upon which the entire Yiddishkeit, the Jewish people and Yiddishkeit stands. Avram Avinu Avi Ha'uma Misemol Esagilu Ha'atzmi B'chayse Kol Shehu Yotze Legalus Es Ha'emes Legalut Ed Ha'emes. Avram Avinu was the father who was the symbol, the son, the prototype, which revealed himself. Understand all this? Avi ha'uma, misemel es hagilui ha'atzmi. the choyser kol shu yotzei the goddess is emes. The goddess did atzmoi lerechecha shayle mi ani.
Is it bechoser kol?
The choyser kol. Yeah, isn't that how I read it?
No, it's a kol shu him.
Ah, bechoser kol.
I don't know if it helps or not.
Who yotzei the goddess is emes. Oh, he came to reveal, to bring out the emes. To reveal by himself the question miani. Who mit yachis bedal koy lechalek ben anam laatzmai. Aravinu was that signpost along the way which revealed himself, who grappled with the ongoing question, who am I, what am I? He grappled and dabbled with the question of getting in touch with himself as who he was, what was his essence. But Arab La'atzma. Yitzhak of Elishayah Eile Tmima, Yitzhak, who was the pure offering, Mesemenes Akeshev Advekus Lashem Yisbrach, he's the symbol, the sign, however you want to use the word, semel, Ben Alam Lamakum. Sorry. Mesemenes Akeshev Advekus Lashem Yisbrach, Zechelek Ben Alam Lamakum. Yitzhak came along, knowing full well who he was. His father was an Avraham Avinu, and he took who he was, knowing full well, understanding who he was, and built his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yaakov in Mesemeres Hayachas Shel Ayudi El Ha'olam Shemechutzelo. Yaakov came along with his Bein Olam La'atzmo that he got from his Zayda, and his Bein Olam La'mokum that he got from Yitzhak, and he took that and he built a relationship with the world. Tafkidu shel Yaakov v'inu haya lahakim mesa'am ha'yudi. His job was to establish the Jewish people. Uleilachem b'kol gilo hara sheboilam dahanu Esav. And his job was to fight against all the evil in the world. He was dealing with the outside world. Yitzhak never left the area of Yisrael. Except for one or two minor encounters with Avimelech. You see, Yitzhak hardly dealt with the Goyish world. Yaakov's whole life was involved with the Goyish world. He was busy with Esav, and then with Lavan, and then with Parah. I mean, when wasn't Yaakov involved with Shechem? When wasn't Yaakov involved in dabbling with the Goyish world? Lavan, the Koladomim lehem, who are ya amun al kshere ha'chut shel ha'yudi alecherek b'lel ma'chavere. B'lel ma'chavere, dealing with that which is outside of yourself. So Abraham builds his relationship with himself. Yitzchak takes who that is, and it can now relate to Hashem. You know, you ought to relate to Hashem. You can't get a goldfish to worship Hashem. You want to make Hashem Melech, you have to be Doime the Melech to a certain extent. You first have to get in touch with who you are. When you appreciate who you are, you suddenly realize you have a relationship with Hashem. But the difficult thing, especially when you're davening, I don't know, maybe for you, I don't know, for me it's an enormous gravel. It's like, Hashem, you're too big for me to be talking. I mean, it's just, it's not Shaykh. It's like this plankton in Antarctica trying to like talk to some whale in the... It's just some plankton's trying to talk to trying to have a conversation with me. It's like it's a piece of plankton in Antarctica is trying to get my attention. That's what it feels like, no? Talk to Hashem, do you understand? Have you ever stopped to think about what Hashem is? I mean, could you make this from nothing? This is nothing. He made your brain, your eyes, your ears. He's making it now. The whole world, the universe, the sun, the moons. He made that out of nothing. And I'm asking him for like bread. It's like, see, you can't do it if you don't know who you are. If you understand who you are, understand that you're a part of that, and you're shaykhus to them. You know where he is. So then you can relate to Hashem. But until you're an Avraham, it's very hard to be Yitzchak. You can only go off and build a relationship with Hashem when you have a deep sense of who you are. You know, you're a chimpanzee standing at the shtem and saying, Hashem, please, Hashem. When you're standing talking to Hashem, who's talking? Who? It's because you appreciate that you have some shaykhahs. Even if you don't feel it consciously, subconsciously, you recognize, I have shaykhahs to Hashem. So that leads to the Ben Olam L'Chavei. Malcolm, once you understand who you are, you understand who Hashem is, you understand how much Hashem loves all his creatures, you understand how much he loves the world, you understand what your tafkid in the world is, then you go out and you build. That's why it was one of the fundamental differences between Avram and Noach. Mishnah Melech says that keeping from Hashem to Abel. Why didn't Avraham Avinu came along and was machriz and taught all about the world or whatever? Avraham Avinu came along and taught all about Hashem to Abel. They all knew about Hashem. So Avraham Avinu found Hashem. He told about found Hashem. He learned about Hashem to Abel. They told him about Hashem. Noach knew Hashem. Adam knew Hashem. There were great tzaddikim before Avraham came along. So the Shulchan Aruch says there that Avraham, one of the differences between Avraham and Noach is that Avraham was machriz. Avraham went out and taught. He went out and did kiruv and Noach did it. It always bothered me, why didn't Noach? So he explains, we'll see, we'll go into it at length, is because Noach didn't appreciate the relationship that he had with Hashem, because he didn't appreciate who he was. Noach understood, I have to do what Hashem wants. Hashem asked me to do things, I'll do them. I'm a functionary. You know, I'm an evident, I get a job, I do the job, finished. Doesn't mean anything to Hashem. Hashem doesn't interest in what I'm doing. I do it, I don't do it. Hashem's infinite, he doesn't need me for anything. So I do whatever he tells me to do. Why? Because that's what I have to do. Good soldier. Abraham understood that Akash Bocha cares about what we do. What we do has an impact. Kivayachal, that what we do has, he loves us, he wants us to do best for us. So when Abraham understood how much Hashem loved him and how much he understood and how much he loved Hashem, so Mamela, he understood how important was Hashem, that the other guy there who doesn't know about Hashem should know about Hashem. As Mamela, he started being machriz. Wasn't that Noach was into, like, well, I don't think Kiruv is a good idea, and Aaron thought, well, Kiruv is a good idea. That's not what separated them. What separated them was a fundamental appreciation of who he was. Because you see, Avraham Avinu just didn't become a better Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. The Torah testifies that Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik in his door, my door, whatever, machlekes, but the Torah says at the end of the day, Noach was a tzaddik. It's the best guy that ever was. When you say Shalom Sani Goy in the morning, you're talking about Noach. I'm not talking about the Schwarze in the street, the Dreg. That's easy. I'm better than him? Okay, great, wonderful. You know, I'm better than the baboon outside there. That's great. You know, I'm a little bit better than a baboon. So you fairly feel good when you say Shalom Sani Goy. It's nonsense. You say Shalom Sani Goy, you're talking about Noach Tzadik. I mean, you're going to become a new Matthias. The only way you can become a new Matthias. If Shalom Sani Goy, I'm כן, אבל הקדוש אולי זה עושה איזה רשם קדוש. אז אברהם אבינו understood he was a different Matthias. Why? Because he had a different relationship with himself. He understood who he really was. Once he understood who he was, the whole way he related to Hashem was different. His mitzvah was different. His Olam Haga was different. He had a job to do. He had a job, but it had nothing to do with any relationship with Hashem. שלוש שמות האלו, הם היסודות שעליהם הששו פרקי המחשבה שבספר זו. These three pillars of the world, these are the foundations upon which the ששו, oozed פרקי המחשבה שבספר זה, whatever the chapters of thought, the void of thought of the sefer, וחד בספר שיופיע אחר בסתר ישמעי על חיין הנשוין. The third volume of the Sefer is by Yehudi. כל עוד יסדס אלו לאיתי בערפל ושופחס אבק של ישיישנוס והרגל נערמם עם עליהם לא נוכל להגיע לשלימוס לתכלוס לא אנו מצפים להגיע. These sugyos are lying in the darkness and in the dust of hopelessness, people haven't given up, and of habit, to the point where we can't get to any shleimus or taklis that we're yearning for. Okay, fine. Well, Mr. Shem will carry on. I think there's a sign up. Lon's going to be giving a